Open up the Gospel of Matthew. Chapter 6. The disciples asked Jesus to teach them how to pray. And what is known as the Lord's Prayer. Okay, thank you. Appreciate that. What is known as the Lord's Prayer is what Jesus taught His disciples how to pray. And I know you've read it many, many times. I'm just going to read it, just a few verses. Beginning at verse 9, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Let's pray. Father, we come before you and ask for your help. We pray that your Holy Spirit will take your word and touch hearts and lives in this room. And Lord, we will be blessed by your presence. I pray you'd give me a freedom and ease to preach that only you can give. And I give you thanks for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, I'm not going to preach on prayer. I'm not going to preach on this prayer. But this isn't the Lord's Prayer. It's not the prayer He prayed. It's a teaching prayer, teaching you how to pray. You ought to pray this way. Now, not necessarily you ought to repeat these words and think it's your prayer, which is done a lot in a lot of churches. You know, they quote it. I could probably half of you know it by memory. I'm going to call you to stand up and recite it. But that's not really the purpose. Your purpose, if we looked at it on how to pray, He's got all of these things that He's praying, but then when He comes down to verse 13, take a look at it. I want to preach to you today on the power of Christ. The power of Christ. Notice it says, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Now that's not a prayer. That's a praise. That's a declaration. That's an acknowledgement that God is God. You know, the disciples were out in a boat one time and the wind was just tearing everything apart and these professional fishermen thought they were going to die. And Jesus got up and calmed everything down with just a word. And they said, "What manner of man is this that the wind and the sea obey him?" Now, let me tell you something, friend. The wind and the sea still obey him. He's in control of everything. It's real nice and it's inoffensive to say Mother Nature. But the truth is, it's Father God.
Amen. Amen.
Now, thinking about the power of Christ and the power that He brings for us that can have an effect in your life, in this church, in the world, wherever you might be, we preach this book. We don't have a set of doctrines that we just have set down for us by somebody. We have the book. And the whole book is our doctrine. It's the apostles' doctrine. And here's what they said, "Thine is the kingdom. Thine is the kingdom. Thine is the power." He's got all the power and the glory forever. Amen. Look with me, if you will, to 1 John 3:8. What was Jesus' purpose in coming? Well, we many times say to die that men might be saved, and that's true. But the Bible describes it a little more clearly. Look what it says in 3:8. "He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose, that's 1 John 3:8. the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. Jesus came to repair, to make again, to make new what the devil had destroyed. Now what did the devil do? Well, the devil decided to go down when God... I don't know how long the devil was down here. I don't know whether it happened after God's creation of Adam and Eve or whatever. I have no clue. I don't see a time space in there. But we do know that in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve were set in there to dress it, and we don't know how long they were there. Could be a day, could be a month, could have been a year, who knows? But the devil dressed himself up as a serpent. Now, it seems a little funny to me because I hate snakes. I'm scared of snakes. I would never make one of those preachers who picks up rattlesnakes. That's not my style. I like to pet dogs. I like to see beautiful birds and whatever, but snakes? I'm just a little bit bad on snakes. I know they're really good for us, but myself and my wife, we just about kill every one we come across. And one time she was going into the dog pen, and she came back just hysterical. Lendl, there's a snake right there. And I stepped right across it. And I went out there, and it was a little garden snake about this long. I killed it. Now, I know ecologically that's not really what I should have done. But my wife is more afraid of snakes than I am. But Satan dressed up as a snake. Well, it looked like it scared Eve, but it didn't, evidently. She was fascinated by its beauty. Well, there was no harm anywhere they went. They had no harm. They didn't have to worry about being snake bit or eaten up by tigers or whatever. Bless your heart, that was one wonderful place where they were in that garden. He dressed up like a snake. And he came to Eve. And he convinced her that God was holding back the best things for himself. Anybody ever tell you that? Oh, yeah. The whole world's telling you that all the time. Take a look at the billboards. Take a look at the advertisements on television. You got this beautiful woman and this handsome man, and they're all drinking it up, and everybody's having a good time.
Amen.
It looks like. I don't know how many divorces drink has caused.
Amen.
I don't know how many people it's killed on the roads.
Amen.
We talk about our gun laws, and they've always tried to change some gun laws. Well, let me tell you something. About last year, about 10,000 people were killed by guns in the United States. About 35,000 were killed by cars. You want to limit the cars? You know what I'm saying is, these things are harmful.
Amen.
They can get to you, and the devil is out there. And I'm telling you the truth, you don't think straight when you've been drinking a whole lot.
Amen.
I know some of you tell me you can hold your liquor. Yeah, I've seen a few of you hold
Amen.
It. Better be a teetotaler like me. Just don't drink it.
Amen.
Till you're ready to die or you're real sickly and getting ready to cross Jordan River, okay? Then we'll let you drink all you want. Notice, for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. The devil came in and deceived Eve. And she sinned. And she went to her husband, Adam. And he saw what she'd done. Adam was not deceived. He knew exactly what he was doing. And he chose death to stay with that woman, Eve. He chose it. And they died that day. Boy, they were scared of God. They hadn't been scared of God. Weren't scared of God the whole time, however long they lived. They had never been scared of God. He walked in the evening with them, fellowship with them. But now sin came in. Sin's going to make you scared of God because God hates sin.
Amen.
You don't get away with sin. Sin's going to come back and bite you.
Yes, sir. Amen.
The devil brought about death. They died that day. They lost their spiritual connection with God. They were spiritually dead. Now, They lived Adam and they lived 930 years or something like that. Lived a long time. I don't know how long Eve lived, but she bore a lot of children. Perfect man, perfect woman. Wow, what a place, what a thing, what a marriage, what an opportunity. But the devil got in and tempted for sin, and sin brought death. And what sin's been doing ever since is bringing death. Now, what does it say? Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. What's the work of the devil? He got people to sin and brought about death. Now turn, if you will, to 1 Corinthians 15. He's talking a little bit about what I've been saying here. Very interesting verses to me. 1 Corinthians 15, beginning at verse 19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive.
Amen.
And every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, after it, they that are Christ at His coming. Then cometh the end, when He shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when He shall have put down all rule and all authority and all power, for He must reign till He put all enemies under His feet. And the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death.
Amen.
There's a very interesting doctrine right here we're talking about. In Adam, all die. Are you a descendant of Adam? Every one of you are. You all came. This evolution's junk is just, it's junk. And I cannot believe bright people can promote it as truth. I don't understand it. It must be they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. I think that can be the only answer for it. In Adam, all die. We can all trace our heritage back to Adam. I don't know about you, been running some of these DNA tests they've got now. Different ones are telling me about them. You know, boy, you can know about this and this and this and who you were and what tribes you came from, where you came from in the world and whatever. Well, I'll tell you what, you all go back to Adam.
Amen.
In Adam all die. And I'll tell you what the universal experience of mankind has been ever since. Death.
Amen.
Now, death doesn't bother us too much when old people die. You know they're going to die. You get old and everything starts wearing out and you start forgetting and you whatever. But if you are 20 years old and a 20-year-old dies right next to you, that'll get your attention. Got mine. I was in the service and a buddy of mine, Bobby Harris from Tennessee, he was 22 years old and he died in a fiery flame. Burning gasoline. Explosion. That was my truck and my run. And I began to think, if he could die, I could die. You know, we don't think about death like that. You young people, middle-aged people, you're not thinking about death. But I tell you what, if you're getting close to 50, you better think about it. I got a whole bunch of relatives that died at 49, 50, 51, 53. If you get through your 50s, praise God. Thank Him for His mercy. Oh, I know, you're going to think about that tonight. In Adam all die. Every one of us that's born, that little baby that just born to Corey and Jenny, it's going to die. I don't know. It could die this year. It could die at 25. It could die at 85 or 103. And I've seen a 100-year-old man preach the gospel on his birthday and do a bang-up job, and he's just jumping around. And I can't do it. But he's 100 years old, and man, he's telling you, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Went out over 60 minutes years ago. 100-year birthday. But he's going to die. Sooner or later, it comes around for every single one of us. Sometimes it's easy, sometimes it's hard. In Adam, all all die. You think you could take that for a rule? You think you'd take that for a truth? Are you in Adam? You're going to die. Physically, you are going to die. But now there's another side to this. For since by, verse 21, since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection from the of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Now, did you notice anything about good or bad? I didn't notice anything it said about good or bad. Good little boys go to heaven, bad little boys go to hell. Any of you ever taught that? I was taught that. I was taught that. Good little boys go to heaven and bad little boys go to hell. That's not what that says. Are you in Adam? You're going to die.
Amen.
Are you in Christ? You're going to live.
Amen.
In Adam all die. In Christ all shall be made alive. Christ is the resurrection. Why did Jesus come? He came to die on the cross of Calvary, suffer under the load of sin, all the sin. Not just mine and yours, as we would count them up, some with a lot and others with fewer. All sin. Sin itself that separated us from God brought all this pain and sorrow and suffering into the world that we have. All these wars and all the misery and hate. He died for it all.
Thank you, Lord.
On the cross of Calvary. The one perfect man that never sinned gave his life for me. For you. For every sinner out there in Adam.
Amen.
Now think about that a minute. In Christ, you have the resurrection. He's the first fruits. Read over the latter part of this chapter, this book. It'll tell you that when Jesus rose from the dead, many of the bodies of the saints rose from the dead too. Went around and talked to people, went around fellowship. They saw them. He was the first fruits. Now let me tell you what. How are you going to live? How are you going to be resurrected? How are you going to have a heaven? By being good? None of you can ever be good enough. Never can. You ever tried to reform yourself? I had a pretty strong willpower most of my life. It's about all gone, but I used to have a little bit. Just try to tell yourself you're not going to do something and see if you can make it a month. You know what you're going to find out? You're a pretty weak wimp. You are. You don't have all the power you think you do. I can quit any time I want to. I've heard that said plenty of times. I just don't want to. It's in Christ. You see the difference? It's so simple. It's not in the church. It's not baptism. It's not the Lord's Supper. It's not continuing repenting. All of these things are good. But let me tell you what. What brings life is to be in Christ.
Amen.
If you're here today and you're in a church, that's not the same thing as being in Christ.
Amen.
If you are religious but you've never been saved, that's not the same thing as being in Christ. You need to repent of your sins, take Christ as your Savior, be born again, know that Christ is your Lord, He's your all, He's your Savior, He's your brother, He's your God.
Amen.
And He's going to save your soul.
Amen.
And then, everyone, the ugly and the beautiful, the rich and the poor, the good and the not so good, and some of them very, very bad, but they're in Christ. They're going to live.
Yes.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yes.
I mean, it's so simple. He came back to destroy the works of the devil. What He did was take on death and got resurrected so that you and I can follow Him, Him being the first fruits and we following after. In Christ, that's the one thing we ought to preach, and that's the one thing we ought to get out. We ought to tell people they need to have Christ as their Savior, and without Him as their Savior, everything else doesn't matter.
Amen.
For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. You notice what He said down at the bottom after Jesus is reigning and conquering all these things? In verse 26, it said, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm looking for a place where there's no death. I've gone to a lot of funerals. I've preached a lot of funerals. Sure would be nice to have a place where there's no death. No separation. Hey, Johnny, you're 82 years old. One of these days you're going to be about the same age as Jesus, about 31 and a half. Forever. In a body that won't let you down. No more sin. No more sorrow.
Amen.
No more pain. No more tears. Heartache's all gone.
Amen.
In a place of great blessing because you're in Christ.
Amen.
What is our responsibility? It's to tell this world they need to be in Christ.
Amen.
Well, there's a whole lot I could go on with there, but I better quit and go to another place. Take a look at Psalm 63 from David. Psalm 63. O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see Thy power and Thy glory, so as I have seen Thee in the sanctuary. I've experienced this. Have you? Have you been in the Word of God, reading those stories, knowing the power that Christ has, and what all He can do, and all the promises in this Bible? And I say, oh Lord, I want to see it. I sure would like to see it. Lord, would You do it today? What's David saying? He said, I went to the sanctuary, I saw the power of God. I went to the sanctuary. I saw God's power, God's blessing, God's love, His control over everything. I want to see it, Lord. I want to see it. I do too. I want to see it. He says something else is just so beautiful I can't pass it over. The next verse. Because of Thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise Thee. The loving kindness of the Lord is better than life. There's nothing that can compare to it. All the pleasures of life cannot compare to the loving kindness of your God. And David saw it and recognized it. But he said, I want to see Thy power and glory so as I've seen Thee in the sanctuary. Sometimes I pray, Lord, remember that revival? Let's do it again. Lord, you remember that time of great power and great weeping and great conviction? Let's see it again. Lord, what You did in the past, You can do in the present. Lord, do it again.
Amen.
You ever had that burning desire in your heart? I want more of God. I want it today. I don't want it in 15 years. I don't want it when I get to heaven. I want it now. You ever pray to God like that?
Amen.
Change me now. Empower me now. Embolden me now. I want to see Thy power. I want to see Thy glory. I know You have it. He's got the kingdom and the power and the glory. That's a declaration of that little thing they read all the time or quote all the time. David said, oh, to see Thy power and Thy glory as I have seen Thee in the sanctuary. In the book of Acts, chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, verse 7. He said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in His own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the world. of the earth. He said the Holy Spirit's coming. Why is the Holy Spirit coming? So you can do some miracles? Well, they did a bunch. They did a bunch. You know what the power of the Holy Spirit for? It's to make you a witness. The Holy Ghost is come upon you. Ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and of the uttermost part, not parts, parts of the earth. You know what's missing in our witness? Holy Spirit power. You know what's missing in our preaching? Holy Spirit power. You know what's missing in our experience with the world out there where we walk around afraid and timid and not witnessing as we ought to witness? Holy Spirit power. Holy Spirit didn't come so you can talk in tongues. That's ridiculous. And in fact, the tongues that you have in the Bible, just clear as a bell, there's 16 different languages. These men were speaking their own language and the people understood them in 16 different languages. Every missionary I know on a foreign field had to learn the language with just plain old guts. Memorization over and over and over again, unless they grew up in it. The Holy Spirit has come to make you a witness. The world needs this gospel. I get sick. I understand the old men I knew when I was a young man. I do. Now, because I'm an old man. I don't like a lot of things that are going on. Man, I saw a little nurse. Well, she was a full-size woman. And she had tattoos all on her breast. I think, yeah, just, you let the tattoo artist play with your breast? I mean, you know. Some of these tattoos, they call them tramp tats. You see them topping out on the bottom of their pants? Well, bless your heart, Christian. If you got one, get bigger pants. Don't let anybody but your husband know you got a tramp tat. I don't like a lot of things. I really don't like a lot of things.
Amen.
I've got a tattoo. I was 14 and lost. And stupid. But listen to me. We need the Holy Spirit of God to be with our witness. What do you need to do to get that? I'm not sure. I guess pray a lot. Talk to God about it. Oh, God, how many people prayed this morning for this church? How many of you right here prayed this morning, God, fill the preachers with power. God, fill them with the Holy Spirit. God, touch some lost souls that they might get saved. You know what? We need to pray like that. It needs to be the attitude of our life. We need to recognize that God wants to empower bold witnesses. When the Pharisees came across Peter and John and James and some of the others, they were shocked at the boldness of these unlearned men. These guys weren't college graduates. They weren't professors in their day. They didn't rule the Sanhedrin. They were fishermen, tax collectors. And yet when they spoke, they shook to the roots, those religious guys. Yes, Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil, and He came to empower you to be a witness of His resurrection. Every once in a while I meet somebody who doubts Jesus and the resurrection. And they say, well, what kind of proof do you have? I don't know whether you can think this through as easily as I have, but it's just so clear to me. One of the greatest proofs that Jesus rose from the dead was the lives of those 11 apostles the rest of their life. You know what they did? They went right down in the midst of their enemies and said, "He's risen, He's alive. You killed Him, but He's alive." And they did it till they died. Some of them were tortured and some of them were exiled. The book of Revelation, written on the Isle of Patmos, probably. An old John, exiled. He writes that book. You know what they said? Right down to the end? He's resurrected.
Amen.
He rose from the dead.
Amen.
Well, you can't do that. It's not possible. Oh, but it is possible. I saw Him. Thomas could say, "I stuck my fingers.
Amen.
I touched Him. I saw Him. He appeared to me." Those apostles, every single one of them, study up on them. Every single one of them that they'd know anything about went through the rest of their days declaring Jesus is alive, He is risen from the dead, and He can save your soul.
Amen.
He got power. What kind of power? Power enough to forgive your sins. Power enough to make you new again. Power enough to make you a son of God. Power enough to put you in Christ.
Amen.
Wow. We need some Holy Ghost power.
Amen.
In John 16, verse 33, there's another witness to the power of Christ that struck my mind as I studied over this. He says, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in Me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." What a statement. What a statement. You think I'm losing out. You might have lost your job for your testimony. You might have lost your marriage for your testimony. You might have lost a lot of things for your testimony. Some of those people down in Mexico, they get saved. They get kicked out of their family. Can't go back. Some of the Jews that get saved, they bury them. They're dead to them from then on. People have suffered a lot for the name of Jesus Christ and for the salvation of Jesus Christ. Most of us are pretty much wimps. We need some bold fighters. We need some bold chargers. We need some bold people who will take the Word of God and carry it out and tell people what they need to know to be saved. To get them in Christ. And that means you. You can't trust somebody else to do it. It means you. You know what he said? Be of good cheer. Why? This world's in a mess. I think I've read in some of my history somewhere that there's at least 100 wars going on in the world at all times. Now you and I notice the big ones are the ones that we get messed up with. But there's wars going on around this world. It has been all back through centuries. And the statement that was made was, there are 100 wars going on at all times around the world. Wow. That's sad. A friend of mine lent me a modern movie. And it was about soldiers. And it really touched my heart. The movie wasn't all that. They had cuss words. They had junk. But these soldiers went in and died. And these wives back at that camp, them with their new babies and their little children, as the taxi cab, should have been a chaplain. But they didn't have enough. Taxi cabs brought these notices of the death of their husband. And I looked at that, and it broke my heart. How many right now are burdened because they lost a son or a daughter? Lost a father? I just look back and think, good night. I've never lost a child. We had five children. They're all married to the same person, and we had 15 grandchildren, and I got seven or eight great grandchildren. And I can tease them and pet them and laugh at them and watch them, and I think of what they missed that I've got. I've been blessed.
Thank you, Lord.
You've been blessed?
Yes.
You ought to thank God for it.
Thank you, Lord.
You ought to thank God for the blessings.
Amen.
These things have I spoken to you. In me you might have peace. That's the only place you're going to get peace, let me tell you. You're not going to get any peace in this world.
Amen.
You're not going to get any peace in your politics.
Amen.
You send a good man to Washington, Washington will corrupt him inside of 3 or 4 years. Oh, I'm going to go up there and I'm going to change the whole thing. Yeah, right. You're going to be just like all the rest we sent up there. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Jesus is the conquering general. Jesus is God in the flesh.
Amen.
And Jesus has conquered the world.
Amen.
And He controls everything.
Amen.
And one of these days, He's going to get us out of this.
Amen.
But we are here to prepare other people to go with us. One more verse. Look at Matthew, the last chapter, verse chapter 28. The Great Commission. Matthew 28:18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power. Did you see that? Have you noticed that? All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth.
Amen.
What a declaration. All power, not a little power, not spiritual power. No. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth.
Amen.
What a declaration.
Amen.
He's either a madman or he's God in the flesh. Now, what did He tell the disciples to do? And by the way, that fits you. Don't just say this belonged to the apostles, the disciples. It fits you. What is He telling you? Go ye therefore. What's that therefore? Therefore. That therefore is therefore you to pay attention. All power. I don't know your experiences in life. I've had several experiences in life that let me know God's in control in spite of anything I could see.
Amen.
I can tell you some stories. I won't. But God Almighty is in control.
Amen.
He's got power.
Amen.
He's got the power to change your marriage. He's got the power to change your life personally.
Amen.
He's got the power to change any government He wants to at any time He pleases. And He's got all the power you need.
Amen.
And He just said it right there again. The power of Christ, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth.
Amen.
Go ye therefore. Since He's got all power, what are you doing sitting around fearful? What are you doing worrying about consequences? What are you doing hesitating on being the best witness you can possibly be?
Amen.
With kindness, with love. You're not out to hurt anybody, but you need to tell them the truth.
Amen.
Teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you. Always. I've got all power in heaven and earth, and I am with you always as you go therefore. Even unto the end of the world. Amen. Christian friend, I don't know about you, but this was an encouragement to me.
Amen.
How many times we look at things we can do through our own power. We look at things that we can do in our own skills, expertise, whatever. Not thinking what God can do with you or what you do. God can. He has all power in heaven and earth.
Amen.
Kingdom, dominion, glory, it's all His.
Amen.
And He tells you, I've given you the Holy Spirit. If you're saved, the Holy Spirit is in you. Now, you may have shoved Him down so hard so many times that He may have a hard time crawling up. But He's in you. And He's there to make you a witness. You're to tell your mother and your father. You're to tell your brother and sister. You're to tell your children.
Amen.
You're to tell your neighbors. You're to tell your friends.
Amen.
Now, your boss didn't hire you to preach the gospel. And he didn't hire you to run off people from his place. But you know better than that.
Amen.
There's ways to do things.
Amen.
You can be a bold witness for Jesus Christ, and you need to be.
Yes, sir.
That's what he's telling you right here. All power is given to me in heaven and earth. Go you therefore and tell the world. Do something about it, Christian. Repent of your laziness. Repent of your fear.
Amen. All right. Amen.
And you might be here today and you're not saved. You're not in Christ. Well, let me tell you, you can come to church every week, but until you get in Christ, you're not going to resurrect from the dead. You're going to go to hell, come out of it for a judgment, and go back in. No, you want life? You want a resurrection life? And you got to be in Christ. And if you're not in Christ today, don't fool yourself. Now, I remember when I got saved 56 some odd years ago. And I was sitting way back over there, back at the back. And the Lord said, that's you. It's me. He's talking to me. There's 500 people within that auditorium, but He was talking to me. Maybe the Holy Spirit's talking to you today. I got saved. I got born again. I had a birth in Adam. I got a birth in Christ. I've never been the same. God changed my life. If you don't have any changes in your life, if your attitude towards sin is not any different, you're not in Christ. Repent of your sin, confess it, and ask God to have mercy on you and save you. You say, you know what I've done? I don't care what you've done. God could have saved Adolf Hitler if Adolf Hitler repented of his sins and called on Him. And God could save Charles Manson if he'd repent of his sins and call upon Him. God's got enough power. You haven't got enough sin to stop God.
Amen.
If you're here without Christ, you're not saved. You come and get out of that chair, walk down this aisle, get on your face right here, confess your sins to God and ask Him to save you right now.
Amen.
And He'll do it.
Amen.
Let's stand and sing.